If you will, John's passing out sheets. John, let me get one of those sheets from you. And we will turn to 1 Peter 3 today. And I want to throw a memory verse your way. I'll read it for you. It's there on the page. Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, at the end of this, we'll go back to these four issues at the bottom. What is my nature, my role, my circumstance, and the nature of others? We've spent the last few weeks really just dealing with my nature. What is it that pushes my buttons? What is it that directs me? And so we advocated looking at the heart, recognizing that all human beings are prone to hide underneath the surface who they really are, bring that magnifying lens of examination, and then look at what leaks out of me, and so draw some conclusions. So we've really spent, out of these four things here, we've spent the last few weeks just dealing with my nature. And hopefully, you sort of recognize some things about yourself. Okay, so who in the room, I'd like sort of a confessional raising of hands. Who'd be willing to say, I'm just prone to be, when I come up against people and they're not doing what I'm just prone to get angry pretty quickly. Anybody just sort of prone to that? Yeah, okay. Anybody who here, you're just afraid of being rejected, that if you come up against somebody and you think they don't like me and make decisions that way, and you sort of, anybody? Yeah, okay, a few hands, all right. Yeah, these things, I have this issue, these things inform not only on how I communicate, but also what I'm perceiving off people. And I have this happen all the time as I deal with people. And I'll just be talking to them in this normal way, and they'll draw conclusions. And I have this happen all the time where somebody says, well, you know, I know you don't consider this important. Or, what are you talking about? What do you mean I don't consider this important? And say, well, when we were talking about that, you just told me to do thus and so. Well, okay, I told you to do thus and so, but that doesn't mean I don't think it's important. But people draw conclusions, and a lot of those conclusions are based really just in what's going on inside me. So we've spent the last few weeks talking about that. So I wanted to get a real-life passage from Scripture that deals with exactly this dynamic. And this is one of my go-to passages. For those of you who have been through this with me before, I understand if you're bored by it. But man, this is a passage full of all sorts of good stuff. And so we can walk through these issues as we hit it. So 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is present, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Okay. Man, this is a full passage. This is really good stuff. So let me ask you a question. As you look at that passage, what part of the nature of a person might be seen in those verses? And yes, sometimes I ask you a question just so I can get a sip of coffee. What part of a person's nature can be seen in those verses? Okay. Right? Developing a different character, a character of submission or humility. Okay, what else? How do you mean, Tom? Okay, now that's not exactly what I'm going for, but it's close. Okay? Let's say you're married to a guy, believer or unbeliever, but either way, he's not obedient to the word. What hints at a nature issue here? Yeah, Parveen? No? Diana? We're not there yet. I didn't read it, though. Okay, well, let me put it this way. Let me rephrase it. Let's say you're a Christian wife and you're married to a guy, believer or unbeliever, who isn't walking with the Lord. What do you want to happen? You want him to walk with the Lord. Okay? Toby, you have a look on your face. Okay, chaste and respect. Okay. All right, you want him to walk with the Lord. What can you do to make that happen? Huh? You could pray, right? We know how much that works, right? Parveen. Get a Bible and hit him with it? What? Get a Bible and go, oh, he just doesn't know. I'll get a Bible and I'll show him. This is always one of my favorite things is that women who are reading a book, they'll highlight a bunch of stuff in it and then hand it to their husband. And I'll tell you how much that works. Never. That never, ever works, but women do it anyway. Bob. Okay, yeah, that as we live out our lives, that might change things, right? Okay, yeah. Even that can be manipulative, but you're paranoid, Mike. So, right, you see what I mean? Now, I'll tell you, see, you're sitting here, you're married to somebody, and they're not walking with the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Your husband's not walking with the Lord. What does that do to your life? It makes it more difficult. If your husband, believer or unbeliever, isn't walking with the Lord, it makes your life harder. So then, you're sitting there on two bases. One, a deeply spiritual struggle to want this person to walk with the Lord. The other is a decidedly more selfish aspect of, hey, you're not walking with the Lord is making my life hard. And it goes back to one of my Doran Ray incontrovertible laws. You will bear the brunt of another person's sin. That's just the truth. People sin, and as they sin, none of that sin is actually private. It actually measures out and affects other people around you. And it's one of the great things that if you will just assume and live in such a way that even your secret sin affects people around you, not only will you be closer to the truth, but it will actually help you get a motivation perhaps to not be such a sinner. Like, hey, you know what? When I'm short-tempered and I'm just walking around the house venting, it actually affects my home. This is one of those things I always go back to my mom. My mom was the classic walk through the house screaming at circumstances. And she didn't want anybody to do anything. She wasn't telling us to do anything. But all of that created this atmosphere in the home where we felt like we needed to do something. And you realize that her just working that out actually did affect everybody. It's just the way it is. Okay, so there you are as a wife. Your husband's not walking with the Lord, so that concerns you. But second of all, it makes your life harder. Okay? And you don't want that to be the case. So what do? We know you don't buy a Bible and go over it with him. That's not going to do that. First of all, it just never happens. But so what do? In real world, Jenny. Right, okay. Okay. Parveen, you want to give it a shot? Get some church members and beat him up. Right. Yeah, you know, you just spurred my thought on something. This is one of those things where our culture, I think, oftentimes really misses it. And I kind of wish it were different. But let's say you've got a husband who beats his wife, right? I think one of the best things that could happen is if the church that they went to, if guys from the church went over and beat him up. I think that would cut a lot of that stuff out. Don't you think that would work? I think that would work. I think that would be good, solid church discipline. I don't know. Just a thought. But that's, I digress, right? Okay, so you're sitting there and your wife, and you want him to change for two reasons. One is he's not walking with the Lord. The other is it makes your life harder. His sin bubbles out in your life and makes your life harder, okay? So what you may want to do is try different stuff, right? You may want to try you may want to try guilt. Like, you know what? When you're this way, it just really makes the kids sad. Or you might want to try manipulation. You know, if you would get yourself straight, maybe there'd be a little bit more intimacy in the house. Things like that. Instead, what Peter says is, I'm going to give you a tool. Here's your good tool. Here's your only tool. When your husband's not walking with the Lord, what I want you to do is submit to him. Okay. Now, how many of you, of all the possible tools, methods, would put submission as the most highly effective, in your top 10, most highly effective methods for dealing with somebody who's not walking with the Lord? Nobody's got it in the top 10. Rhonda, I actually need to get together and define this word for you sometime. I'm not quite sure. Clark can actually explain it to you. I think he knows all about it. So, just always digging at you. No reason either. Just no reason. Just digging at Clark. Yeah. Now, folks, actually what he says here, this is a communication technique. This is actually communication. In a real life circumstance, I want you to understand what he says. Wives, be aware of your own nature. When you're dealing with somebody who's not godly, instead of going with your nature, instead recognize you have a role. And that oftentimes the solution for a communication issue comes down to one of role. That as a wife, in my role as wife, I'm sitting here and I'm dealing with this guy who is not walking with the Lord the way he ought. And the solution for it is not to pick up a tool and start seeing if I can change him, but rather, Peter says where you should go is to your role. Let me even extrapolate this out further. If there's fighting in the house, okay, there's turmoil in the house, and let's say the kids are fighting, And there you are at home. Mom and dad, they hear the kids fighting in the house. What should happen? These kids are doing this poisonous communication thing back and forth. What should happen? Anybody know? Okay, Bonnie. Okay. Who should do that, Bonnie? Okay. Okay. What did Bonnie just say? There's a poisonous communication thing going on. What's the solution? Somebody stepping into their role. You see the issue? See how that works? Oftentimes, the solution for a communication issue is your role. When there's a decision to be made in the home, what's supposed to happen? Okay? Dad's supposed to step into his role. You see the issue? Oftentimes, what we find is that communication becomes ungodly when people in the middle of something will fall into the pattern of their nature rather than in the first line of defense, which is their role. Okay? Wife's sitting there, she's dealing with a real issue, and Peter says, disregard your nature. Don't slide into your nature. Rather, first line of defense is engage in your role. You're his wife, he's your husband. Start in the role of submission. Now, that's really hard. And just so you know, I'll tell you this works both ways. When there's a decision to be made and it's confusing or it's complicated, very often you will see guys who are supposed to be the leaders in their home, instead of engaging in it as their role as leader, they go to the garage. Or they go outside and mow grass. Or they leave. Anybody know why? Yeah. Okay, don't want to deal with confrontation. Okay? How many guys like dealing with confrontation? Just raise your hand if you just love confrontation. Hey, there aren't any. Just me. It is interesting, and it's one of the big mysteries to me of life, that guys tend to fight. They tend to like to fight, but they go passive when they're faced with decisions or they're faced with things that are complicated. How many of you guys, and just in a confessional sense, be willing to say, when I come up against something that's complicated or confusing, I go passive and just leave? How many of you? Nobody's willing. Oh, a few. Kirk's like, oh man, I'm the king of that. I just leave. I'll find something to do. That is the nature. That is the nature of guys, to go passive in the middle of things that are complicated or confusing. They will slide into that passivity. They'll slide into nature. So let's extrapolate from this passage. What would Peter say to dads? Okay, step up and take responsibility. The same way he says to wives, wives, submit to your husbands. He would say to husbands, take responsibility. And that's a function of the role. Now, are you guys starting to get where if I sided on my role rather than my nature, a lot of this communication stuff might get fixed? Anybody see that? You see that? Do you see that, Kip? All right, partway. Yeah. All right, but let's stick with the wives for a minute. Okay, let's stick with the wives for a minute. He says, in the same way you wives, submit your own husbands so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Let me ask you a question. Percentage-wise, how much do you think if a guy is not walking with the Lord, that his wife's chaste and respectful behavior will make a huge difference? How many of you think that that will make a huge difference? Nobody's raising their hands. Okay, so why don't you think it'll make a difference? The Bible says do it. You don't think the Bible works? It depends on the guy. It depends on who you are. Well, okay. Anybody else? Guy's not prone to be humble enough to look at his wife's behavior and go, you know what, she's right. Yeah? Oh, well, Donna, you're right about that. Our sense of the timing of effectiveness of something is much quicker than God's sense of that, right? But let's just understand something. Righteousness has nothing necessarily to do with effectiveness. Righteousness has nothing to do with effectiveness. God really is not interested in effectiveness. He's very interested in righteousness. The idea of if somebody's persecuting for you for your faith and you turn the other cheek or you submit to that sort of persecution, that has nothing to do with effectiveness. It has a lot to do with righteousness. The fact is, what's much more effective is punching somebody in the nose. That is much more effective from a sense of getting it to stop. But God's agenda is different. And I want to skip to the bottom for a second. Verse 6, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. What does that tell us? Remember, this is a total context. What does it tell us? Right. Right. All right, so let me ask you a question. How scared do you think a wife is when her husband is not walking with the Lord? How scared? Terrified. Especially if she marries this believer and things are great for a few years, and then she watches him sliding. Folks, there is nothing more terrifying. It's just true. There is nothing more terrifying than being indelibly hooked to somebody. You're married to somebody. You've got kids with somebody. And watching them slide down. There's just nothing more terrifying than that. And Peter says, look, your nature is going to have this button attached to it called fear. And when that button gets pushed, you're going to be prone to start trying stuff, to trying to be effective, to try and undo what's happening. Kirk. Sure it is. Yeah, sure it is. And I've walked through this, both husbands and wives, watching their marriages fall apart. And I said, and I've always told them this thing, and this is the reason I tell them this. I said, look, I can't promise you you're going to get to keep your marriage. However, if you do the right thing, if you lose your marriage, you'll end up okay. You'll be all right. And people have a tough time buying that from me in moments of crisis. But I'm telling you, this is the absolute truth. if you will walk through things God's way, you can actually walk through things and end up okay, even if the result is hell. Even if the result's ugly, you can be okay. And what Peter really here is saying is, wives, I cannot promise you that your husband's going to change. However, you're not allowed to try a bunch of stuff to try and get him to change. Rather, you're going to go to your role as your first line of defense of dealing with this person, and within your role, exercise godliness. And it may be that he observes that and changes. Or it could be that he observes that and stays the same. And this is one of those things where I really have to credit women. I have seen women sit in marriages like this for years and years and years and patiently wait out their husbands as they go down this tube, get to the bottom, and somehow claw their way back up and end up okay. And I also want to tell you this, that as you exercise your role, and this is exactly what Kirk was talking about, as you exercise God's way within your role, your nature will change. All of us carry stuff. Remember, we're all under the surface. We're all submarines. There's a lot of ugly stuff in there, and there's a lot of stuff that is a result of interactions you've had when you grow up. Dealt with a woman years ago, and she was just really sensitive to this issue of kids picking on one another because she had been picked on as a kid. And when she would see a kid pick on another kid, it would dredge up all this junk from her childhood, and she would overreact to it. She would just, like, drop the bomb on these kids who were just doing what human beings do. But she's dragging around this huge thing of rejection in her life, so when it would happen, she would act like the end of the world had come. But if she would just side in godliness and handle that rightly, well, actually, it'll change her nature. This is one of those things. That's why he says here at the end, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you become her children if you do what's right without being frightened by any fear. Hey, if you're hauling around this fear button in your life, as you learn to trust in God's way and exercise God's way within your role, your nature is actually going to change. You're going to find that fear has less of a hold on you than it did before. You'll find that insecurity has less of a hold on you than it did before. You'll find that anger has less of a hold on you than it did before. You'll find that your nature changes. And this is one of those things I was talking about last week. I talked about how Kim, you know, early on in our marriage when she had the kids, you know, she would just sort of suck it up and just be very stoic and very calm while she was boiling on the inside. And actually, she's given testimony of this, that actually that nature has changed. When she steps into crisis, she doesn't get internally all flummoxed or out of kilter anymore. That's actually a change in her character. And my reaction, my quick temper, my quick reaction to things has dissipated and disappeared. My nature's changing there. The one great exception to that, and I told you guys before that, you know, I used to really struggle with mechanical things because I do a lot of mechanical things. And when mechanical things don't work the way they're supposed to, I get furious. I just chuck a wrench. I mean, it's a physical world. This thing should go with this thing. If it doesn't, you know what I mean? Anybody else with me on that? I mean, just furious. Well, that's dissipated. I realized what I was really doing was blaming God for giving me a bad day. And so I've worked on that, and I've exercised godliness within my role, and my nature's changed. The one great exception to that is when a dog growls at me, and that's one of those things I'm going to be working on. When a dog growls at me, there's a thing in my head that says, I'm a man. Who are you to exert your will against me? I'm a human being, man. I exercise dominion over this world, and I'll exercise dominion over you if you don't watch it. That's a thing. animal show me attitude. I'm all over it, man. I can't take it. I mean, just woo. So what I want you to do is I want you to learn your nature. And this is what we've spent the last few weeks. Am I quick-tempered? Am I prone to interpret things as rejection? Am I insecure? Am I fearful? Do I worry? Start to spot what's your nature. You've got to. And then look for my proper role. As a first line of defense, what's my role? I had a soldier explain this to me once, and I've heard it from a dozen places. It must just be one of those things that people learn. But a soldier told me once, he said, you know, when you're in combat, you get very afraid. He said, it's just one of those things because, I said, well, what is it exactly that you're afraid of? He said, well, you're afraid of dying. But more specifically, you're afraid of getting hurt and feeling a lot of pain. I said, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. I said, so how do you combat it? He said, well, we're trained to fight. And the reason I had that discussion with him was related to a lot of stuff, but years later, I came across a thing called game theory, and I've explained this before. And game theory is the psychology of the human being. And what happened was they found that when they looked at soldiers, it was a huge percentage of soldiers never fired their weapons in combat. And they were trying to investigate, well, why is that? And the reason is because if I step into my role as a soldier and I start shooting, then I am going to attract attention to myself. So what soldiers do psychologically is they hold the position of firing, but they don't fire. And they hope that everybody else around them is firing so that they get the attention. Well, folks, it's training to step up to my role that changes that. And that's what soldiers do. Soldiers fall in line with their training, and they shoot because they're trained to shoot. But that also means danger is incurred. So I may be afraid, but I'm going to step into my role. So as a dad, hey, I may be afraid to step into it, but it's my job to take responsibility. So I'm going to side on being the dad. I've got to take responsibility here. And you got to understand, this has been an issue for me. I have three women in my home. I live with three girls. I'm just thankful I don't live with four. There's a lot of stuff that occurs in my home that I don't understand the psychology behind it. I just don't get it. And I'll say to Kim on occasion, hey, what's going on here? She's like, well, as a girl, this is the way. I'm like, who thinks that way? Well, apparently every other girl. But that doesn't absolve me from having to step in, because my nature would be, hey, this is going on and I don't like it, or this is going on, it's wrong. So I'm just now going to step in. My nature says, get big and loud so that everything stops and we can go back to normal. However, if I go with my training, I go with my role, I'm going to step in as a loving father and say, hey, I don't know exactly what's going on here, but this is wrong. What do we do about it? This is sin. And it was really funny because last night we were coming home and the girls were teasing one another. And it was a really good thing. They were doing a really good teasing with each other. That really helps them. And in their relationship, they're really strong. So they're doing this teasing thing, and I stopped them. And I said, hey, do you guys realize that 3 years ago the conversation that you're having would have degenerated into tears by this point? And Salem started laughing. She's like, what, 6 months ago it would have done that? And they're acknowledging that their relationships changed. But you have to step in. Hey, what's my role here? There's something going on either in the sin department, or the efficiency department, or something. And a dad needs to step in and take responsibility here and lead. We are not allowed to just check out. And that's why he says to wives, when you're in the middle of this situation specifically, don't side with your nature. Step into your role. Submit to your husband and trust that whatever God's doing there, as you embrace godliness, righteousness, that God's going to do what he will or won't do. But either way, you've got to grow that you can actually change your nature. And then you're going to look at the circumstances. So I'd like to just move on briefly, and we don't have much time. We won't finish this today. We'll pick it up next week. Verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she's a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I've taught on this 100 times, so I should hear the right answer. When he refers to women as the weaker vessel, what does he mean? No. People interpret this as physical. It's not. This is not physical weakness. Anybody know what this is? Mikey?
Weaker position.
All right, weaker position. Women have a role of submission. Isn't that weaker? How many of you would just love to be in the submission position? Hey, you know what I really want to be? I want to be a submitter. Nobody wants to be in that position. When he says, look, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone who's weaker, he's not referring here to any sort of physical, mental, emotional weakness. He's not referring to any of that stuff. The context really determines that. And the context is he was just talking about her in this role of submission. That is endemically a position of weakness. How many of you would love to be in a 50-50 partnership with somebody, but they get to make every final decision? Would you like that, man? Would you like being in business with somebody, a 50-50 ownership business, but they get to make all the final decisions? That would stink. It would stink out loud, right? Well, welcome to marriage from your wife's perspective. He's like, well, that doesn't work that way. It's supposed to, by the way. Just so you know. Yeah. She's in the submission role. Recognize that she's in a weaker position. And I want to start something. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way. And what he means there, literally, in the language is, husbands, recognize and be skillful in the way that you live with your wife. Because she's in an automatically weaker position in the submission role. Recognize the difficulty of that position. Recognize it and develop skills to deal with it. Really what he's saying here is look at the circumstances with which you're dealing with that other person. So let's recap and we'll stop. Look at your nature, and I cannot say that enough. Don't look in the mirror every day and go, you know what, I'm a marvelous fellow. Look in the mirror every day and go, okay, where am I weak? Where are my weaknesses popping up as patterns of difficulty for the people around me? If you want to get serious about godliness, you want to get serious about improving your marriage, your friendships, your fatherhood, your motherhood, look at where your weaknesses affect people around you. Look at your nature. Then, look at how your role might change that. Hey, are you cowardly? Well, guess what? You have a role. You have to step up. I remember my mom years ago, she was contemplating suicide. Really at a dark spot in her life, 1984. She was at a really difficult spot. She was just contemplating suicide. And she said what kept her from killing herself was that she realized that she had 3 boys left at home that she had to raise. And she just couldn't do it because it would leave those 3 guys without a mom. Your role can oftentimes be a solution for a nature issue, for where you are. Where might my role be an answer? If I'm a coward as a dad, I need to step up and take responsibility. If I'm afraid as a mom, I need to move into a role of submission rather than manipulation or whatever. There's solutions in that. And then start looking around and going, okay, what are the circumstances in which I'm real life dealing, and how might these circumstances be answered by something that I do, as well as give me an understanding of where the next person is? Okay, we're going to stop there. We'll pick up next week. Any questions or comments before we move on? Yes, ma'am. No, I'm saying exactly the opposite. Yeah, you're supposed to have conversation, but we're going to talk about how those conversations happen. Okay? Right. Anybody else? Okay, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this day. We just ask, Lord, that you would give us deep conviction. And really, the conviction is, where's my responsibility? Where do I need to move before I start dealing with those around me? And Father, we just ask that you would cause your fruit and your fruitfulness to meet out in people's lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, see you at church.